With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
From Studio C, senor. Deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Entormation Complex, this is the Armstrong and Getty Show live. Unless you're listening later, then it's not live. But it's live now. Where were you? This Monday, the 27th of June, the year of our Lord, 2022. Jack is off today, more or less, although I think he'll be calling in for a segment or two at some point. He is with his brothers and offspring, helping out his mom and dad with a move. And it's one of those excuses you get occasionally for a family reunion, and why not? Which I think is fantastic, especially since his family, like mine, is somewhat scattered around the country. And indeed, Judy and I are looking forward to a similar get-together. Gosh, when is that? I just told you what the date was. But with the memory of a 95-year-old, kiss him like a week and a half. All my kids are going to be at the house. Anyway, welcome to the show. Nothing to talk about today. I don't know. Maybe I'll just read you lists of knock-knock jokes. Good gracious. This morning we are tootling? we are laboring under the tutelage of our honorary general manager, Dobbs. Had a lot of choices for our general manager today. Of course, the Supreme Court's blackbuster Roe v. Wade overturning decision last week was Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, henceforth to be known as Dobbs for the rest of our lives and those of our children. And so the momentous Supreme Court case has opened an enormous can of worms. Perhaps you've noticed that already. Sometimes cans of worms need to be opened. I'm not suggesting for a moment that that delicious worm can should have been kept shut. I think it was the correct decision. On the other hand, and I will absolutely be willing to support that conclusion, unpopular as it may be in the nation's media. But it has unquestionably opened up the aforementioned can of uncertainty and angry marchers and more chanting than I ever wanted to hear in my life. Battles in state houses across the country, battles in state courts across the country, followed by appeals courts, of course, and probably back up to the soups at some point. But many, many, many questions to be answered. And fair enough, it is at least conceivable that those questions will be answered in a way that is much more supportable and much more reasonable than a thinly supported Supreme Court decision almost 50 years ago, and the patchwork of laws around the country that we're going to be dealing with in the meantime. So anyway, we'll dive into that, both Jack and myself and various pundits and experts, both in print that I will share with you, and a couple of guests coming to the show as well, especially segment three of this hour. We're going to be talking to Dave Drucker of the Washington Examiner, who is a seasoned hand keeping an eye on Congress and keeping an ear on the halls of Congress as to what might be cooking there in terms of national legislation to regulate abortion and or permit it, I suppose. And we're talking about everything from the so-called morning after pill to, you know, saving the life of the mother, severely deformed fetuses, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, again, while we will not be talking about this the whole show, goodness knows, there's a lot to talk about. And our freedom-loving quote of the day, I shouldn't give it away, but it's one of my favorite quotes from one of my favorite people, H.L. Mencken, who was a very, very cynical guy, appropriately so, because he spent his life observing and writing about politics. And one of his most famous sayings was essentially, and again, I don't want to give it away, but the whole point is to scare you and whip you up. That's what politics is. That's what they do. Careful reasoning, gentle persuasion, orderly thinking. Oh, stop it. No, 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 no. You whip up the mob. You terrify them or you anger them. You say, go that way. And they go that way. And as a politician, you profit from it. And so we're going to point out how that's happening a lot right now and how it's really completely unnecessary. I mean, with all due respect to the young gals screaming till the red in their pretty faces on the steps of the Supreme Court or just outside the giant chain link fence, all this will work itself out. And bellowing like a wounded beast at an empty building, while it may feel good and you know, maybe you fire up the crowd and you all hang together and you raise some funds and you get stuff done, it's mostly just venting, I guess. And I'm not anti-venting or anything, but this is going to play out over the weeks and months ahead. And I really do think, end up in a fairly reasonable place based on the overwhelming opinion of Americans. That is, as we've mentioned many times, and this has been borne out in poll after poll after poll, Americans are grudgingly, uncomfortably okay with early-term abortions. Not everyone, of course. I know. I've seen the numbers. I know there are a lot of you who are moment of conception people, and I certainly respect your views. But the large majority of Americans says, well, early on, if you gotta, I guess it's your business. And then, in again, overwhelming numbers, after that, the large majority of people say, no, almost surely no, ending that pregnancy. And then when it's a fully formed baby that just is, you know, finishing the gestational period for the last several months of pregnancy, the enormous majorities of Americans say that's murder. Can't do it. And in fact, what's really interesting is that in a number of the blue states of America, including Cal Unicornia, home to what, a sixth of the population, something like that, famously blue California. If you murder a pregnant woman, you've committed two murders. That's in California. So if you're looking for consistency, how in the name of heaven do you justify that incredible contrast? Pregnancy's fine all the time. Should be. Hell, we'll fly you to California, pay for your hotel room. Enjoy your California abortion, ladies, wherever you're coming from, including foreign lands. You're absolutely, but, if on the way to the clinic, some lunatic or gangbanger or junkie or God knows what other sort of monster were to kill you and your unborn child, that would be two murders. Somebody square that for me, please. And I'm not saying any of this is easy, but you've essentially said at that point, well, you've granted women a right to kill. If those two laws are both in existence at the same time. So the one thing nobody wants to admit, we admit it around here, but nobody else wants to, at least not many, is that these are really difficult, difficult issues for a lot of people. So we'll see if we can avoid shouting and whipping people up, and we're not raising any money, none whatsoever. I wouldn't know how to get it if you gave it to us. But we will try to bring you a good balanced view of what's going to happen, what's probably going to happen. Oh, and my favorite topic, speaking of trying to terrify people, the idea that next it's interracial marriage, then gay marriage, then gay sex, and then no, it's not. None of it. For very solid reasons. So that's a lot of fundraising and whipping people up, but that's legal. First Amendment protects it, so I suppose we're not going to end it, but we will call it out when we see it. At any rate, we have mailbag coming in a couple of minutes, the freedom-loving quote of the day I mentioned, and then a visit with David Drucker, and that's just in the next half hour or so. We have squeezed all sorts of great stuff into the show today. Hope you can stay tuned, but oh, good Lord, we haven't even started it officially. According to FCC rules and regulations, here the show comes at Mark.
The radical left are constitutional anarchists. They're literally trying to change this country from top to bottom. They want to pack the court because they don't like this decision. They want to abolish the Electoral College so California and New York can pick the president in perpetuity. At the end of the day, they want to federalize elections, take it away from the states to make sure you have ballot harvesting and do away with voter IDs. So these constitutional anarchists, here's my advice to you. Quit trying to burn down America and work like we did in the fields. Elect people who agree with you at the ballot box.
The first one of those clips, which is utterly useless and should be removed from the list, was a cute girl with a lot of Instagram followers named Sandy Cortez, sometimes known as AOC, at some rally saying that voting isn't enough. She's one of those people advocating tearing down the institutions because they're just so mean. And second, of course, Senator Lindsey Graham making some pretty good points. All right. All that stuff I mentioned is to come. Thanks for being here. It's the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Welcome. How you doing? Lots to talk about today. Let's dive into it. Here's your freedom-loving quote of the day. Oops. I was going to say, what is it, Friday? Eclipse of the Week? No, it is Monday. Okay. From H.L. Mencken. Interestingly enough, from his book, In Defense of Women. One of the reasons I admire Mencken so much is that he was so ahead of his time in a lot of ways, both in terms of his respect for women as citizens and voters and the rest of it. And also, he wrote some scathing, scathing columns for the Baltimore Sun back in the, oh gosh, the early half, or the first half, the first third, really, of the 20th century. Scathing columns pointing out how the leadership of southern states was overlooking lynching. That were powerful at the time and moved a lot of needles in terms of bringing justice to black America. So anyway, it's one of the reasons he's my hero. But anyway, his quote of the day is, the whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by an endless series of hobgoblins, most of them imaginary. The Dobbs abortion case, the Roe v. Wade overturning, as I mentioned last segment, absolutely has opened a can of worms, things that need to be decided, legislation that needs to be passed. But there's a tremendous amount of hobgoblinery going on right now. It's just trying to stoke fears of things that'll never happen. So we'll talk about that as the show progresses. Right now it's mailbag. You can drop us an email if you like, mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. It's mailbag@armstrongandgetty.com. Keep it, you know, brief if you can. Respectful. Anybody gets vicious, I'll block you and you'll never be heard from again. So, you know, it's up to you. No trollery. Let's see. JT in Livermore, busy this weekend, writing excellent emails. Someday we might just have a JT day. An audience member's concern over the coming Getty wedding. That's right, my daughter, my oldest daughter, Kate, is getting married in September. I'm concerned how this upcoming wedding of the Getty daughter will impact me. Well, not only the wedding, but also other frivolous show-interrupting things like summer vacation, etc. Please reconsider canceling all travel plans in order to facilitate my summer of uninterrupted A&G On Demand and One More Thing podcast. Thanks for your consideration. Yeah, thanks for asking. Tell you what, man. There are harder jobs than this one, but you need a break now and again. Trust me. Let's see. Here's a nice note from Ted. My going on and on about the U-Haul statistics last week. How it was so interesting which states and metro areas had people flowing in or flowing out and by what numbers. The number one inflow state in the country by far, Florida, followed by Texas, your low-tax, business-friendly state. The outflow coming from the usual suspects, people fleeing California as fast as they can. Likewise, Illinois. Likewise, New York. High tax, business unfriendly states, right? This is an excellent devil's advocate point. I have a serious question about what constitutes an exit from a state, particularly states that are known as retirement communities like Arizona and Florida. Do deceased count as leavers of the state? I mean, aren't retirement destination states constantly expected to be net importers of people from other states? That simultaneously, for reasons that simultaneously have nothing to do with politics. You know what? I don't know what the numbers actually are, but yes, a lot of people leave Florida for heaven, and they don't generally use U-Haul. So, that's a pretty damn good point. In Arizona, too. Heaven and or hell, if you believe in such things. Let's see. Sideshow Bob writes, I just heard that Jussie Smollett was given the red carpet treatment at the BET Awards last night. There is an awards show every single weekend of the year. Who are you humans who watch them? Anyway, he writes, can you imagine if a white actor had made up a story about being attacked by a couple of BLM guys, then walked the red carpet at the Country Music Awards? The media response would be deafening, and rightly so. However, it's the silence that is deafening now. The political hypocrisy is so bizarre and so grotesque. Sideshow Bob.
It was so bizarre and so grotesque.
Bob says, P.S. I hope Jack isn't sleeping on a terminal floor right now. I haven't heard from him that he is. Rich writes, would somebody please remind Senator Elizabeth Warren that she took an oath promising to defend and protect our Constitution, not destroy it with her incessant poisonous attacks on our Supreme Court's legitimacy? At what point does an elected official's violation of this sacred oath justify the removal from office? Well, Rich, I'm afraid the First Amendment protects her rights all around to be a verbal bomb chucker at all times. But yes, it's funny. She is one of the leading lights of suggesting that Trump was a threat to all the institutions of the country. Meanwhile, slandering every institution of the country from the Supreme Court to the Electoral College and everything in between and explaining how it should be torn down. Let's see. Oh, this is such a good note, but we don't really have time. Oh, that one's wonderful, too, about her discussion with two intelligent women in her family and how she was able to edge their thoughts. How about this note from Gary? I think we can fit this one in. The inconvenient truth. Everyone knows that certain major governmental actions can have unintended consequences. Such will be the case with the gun control law just signed into law by Biden. The Democrats and liberals with each of these laws are becoming more and more boxed into having to face that young black and brown men have a propensity to settle matters with violence. Yeah, actually, the statistics of who dies by gun violence are crazy out of line, racially speaking. We'll talk more about that to come. David Drucker of the Washington Examiner next. Looking forward to it.
Armstrong.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
The radical left are constitutional anarchists. They're literally trying to change this country from top to bottom. They want to pack the court because they don't like this decision. They want to abolish the Electoral College so California and New York can pick the president in perpetuity. At the end of the day, they want to federalize elections, take it away from the states to make sure you have ballot harvesting and do away with voter IDs. So these constitutional anarchists, here's my advice to you. Quit trying to burn down America and work like we did in the fields. Elect people who agree with you at the ballot box.
Get yourself to the ballot box to discuss that and similar fare. Please welcome to the show David Drucker, Washington Examiner senior political correspondent, author of In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP. David, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Yeah. So no matter what one thinks about the recent decision in the Dobbs case, it has opened up multiple layered cans of worms at the ballot box, in state courts, appeals courts, etc. Why don't we focus first legislatively? Is Congress talking about swinging into action and passing any sort of legislation?
Congress is. I started taking a look at this in early May, after the Alito draft, which is now the Alito majority opinion, leaked. And, you know, for a long time, Joe, there's been this speculation that the Roe decision in 72, and I believe it was 72, was so constitutionally flawed that it created this 50-year polarizing debate over abortion. And in some circles, the speculation was, or the belief was, that if the court would fix this decision, this flawed decision, by overturning Roe, not only would this battle, you know, not only would questions about abortion revert to the states where it belonged, but this polarizing, vitriolic debate would then be over. And that is not going to be the case at all. This perennial debate over abortion, sometimes a very vigorous debate, is going to continue in perpetuity. It's just going to shift venues, right? So instead of arguing about appointing Supreme Court justices that will overturn Roe, you're going to see in 2024, and I'm sure 2028, and so forth, battles about appointing Supreme Court justices that will overturn Dobbs. And you're going to see a much more vigorous debate in the states as red states move to ban abortions at various stages of pregnancy, some with exceptions, some without any exceptions, except for the life of the mother, which seems to be the one consensus exception, even in states like Oklahoma. And then other states, you're going to see a battle to expand abortion and make it available to people that live in states where you can't get it. And finally, what I would say here is House Republicans are already talking about proposing a national ban on abortion once they take power next year. Of course, President Biden would veto that, and it would be subject to a 60-vote threshold filibuster in any event, just as Democrats, as soon as the Alito draft leaked, were talking about codifying federal protections for abortion rights in Congress. So this thing is not going away. You're going to see it in Washington. You're going to see it on the campaign trail, and you're going to see it in states.
Well, first of all, I need to call you on using the antiquated term mother as opposed to birthing person, but let's we'll put that aside for the moment. And that was sarcasm, obviously. You know what's interesting and troubling to me about this is, and Jack and I have talked about this for years, if you look at the polls, the Gallup polls, year after year after year, Americans are grudgingly okay with very early term abortions in very large majorities, and then get increasingly skeptical slash horrified by the prospect, particularly late in a pregnancy. On the other hand, there are huge differences geographically, state by state, on the way people look at it. So if you were to look at the federal attitude, if you will, it would seem to be a pretty short putt for Congress to pass a law that just reflected the will of the vast majority of the American people in terms of when is abortion permissible or not. Why wouldn't that happen?
Because an issue like abortion, like other very hot-button issues, is often governed by the most committed voting blocks, right? I mean, I think it's a reason why we haven't been able to resolve the abortion issue for all of these years, even with Roe v. Wade and Casey versus Planned Parenthood versus Casey in effect. Nothing precluded Congress from trying to reach consensus on abortion and resolving the debate. But there has always been this concern by the pro-abortion rights forces that if you give in with an agreement to ban, let's say, late-term abortions, that it's a slippery slope toward banning all abortions. And then there's also just this strong philosophical belief that even if late-term abortions are ghastly, the government has no right to tell a woman what to do with her body and how to handle pregnancy. In the same way, I would say that, you know, there are many committed voters on the right who believe strongly in the Second Amendment, even when Democrats and some Republicans, let's say, might propose what seem to many to be consensus gun rights restrictions or gun safety legislation that polls really well and seems like a majority of the country believes in. They don't want to hear about it because it's a slippery slope toward banning the right of a law-abiding citizen to purchase and own and keep firearms. And so these debates are very hard because even though there's a broad agreement in the middle, you have committed political actors and just, you know, people who care about these issues that don't want this thing to go sideways on them. And so it's just a very difficult issue. And then there are just lots of, you know, disagreements. But again, especially when you look at the United States Congress, where most seats are drawn, a vast majority of seats are drawn to elect either Democrats or Republicans. It means these political battles are always won and lost in primaries. And that is another reason why it's hard to govern from the center, because ultimately you owe your seat to the left or the right.
Wow. Yeah, that is clearly true. I for some reason, I feel like there may be enough weight in the center to at least come to some sort of compromise on this, but I suppose we'll have to wait and see. David Drucker, the Washington Examiner, their senior political correspondent, is on the line. Am I correct that the prospects of packing the Supreme Court remain virtually zero?
I would not expect that to happen. President Biden opposes a packing the Supreme Court. And look, for what it's worth, I think that's the right decision in this regard. You know, what one person does, what one party does, the next party's going to do. I don't think people always realize that. And look, the parties always seem to get upset with the Supreme Court when they don't get what they want. I remember when the Roberts Court did not strike down Obamacare ahead of the 2012 election, and the court's credibility suffered somewhat on the right. Roberts, in particular, people were unhappy with him. And when Ted Cruz ran for president, and look, Ted Cruz has argued cases before the Supreme Court and won. He's been a clerk, and he understands the Constitution, even if people don't like the way he interprets it. He came out with a whole plan in his 2016 presidential campaign to eliminate lifetime appointments. Right, so this thing swings back and forth where people don't like the court. But, you know, in 2013, if I have my dates right, and you never know with me, but, you know, when then Senate Majority Harry Reid deployed the nuclear option, breaking Senate rules to change the rules and took away the 60-vote thresholds for judicial appointments except for the Supreme Court and for all executive branch nominees, that, you know, Republicans will tell you from their point of view led to McConnell's decision to employ the nuclear option to get Gorsuch appointed, confirmed to the Supreme Court when President Trump appointed him and Democrats were filibustering. My point here is Democrats may think some that you just pack the Supreme Court, kill the filibuster, get what you want, and it's over and it's done. But it wouldn't be done because then Republicans could deploy, would not have a legislative filibuster to constrain them, let's say beginning next year, from passing all sorts of legislation, and especially when there's a Republican president to sign it. And look, if Republicans were to win the White House in 24 and there were Republican majorities in the House and Senate, they could just go ahead and tack on a couple more justices to the court. I mean, why couldn't they? I mean, political opinion may constrain them. I suppose they could remove, I think they could unpack the court. But these things are not consequence-free. It's not as though, you know, it's not like a basketball game where you get to take the final shot, and in perpetuity, you were champions for that year, and that was the end of it. I mean, this thing just rolls on.
Right. Hey, speaking of the midterms, which you referenced more or less, is this more or less a lifeline, this overturning Roe v. Wade for the Democrats? Because they were looking at what I thought was going to be an all-time shellacking. Is this going to fire up the base?
Well, it should fire up the base. I don't want, you know, the polling that we're seeing in the immediate aftermath of the Dobbs decision is interesting. I want to see polling that is conducted about 10 days from now, and then that polling would come out, you know, probably a week later. Mm-hmm. You always like to see the dust settle with major events to see what happens. I would say it gives Democrats an opportunity to regain some standing when it comes to enthusiasm levels for voters. In midterm elections, enthusiasm matters quite a bit. And, you know, it's been a really ominous sign for Democrats that Republicans are a lot more jazzed to vote this year than Democratic voters. This could change that, so I'm keeping my eye on that. I think this decision could be much more beneficial to Democrats politically in 2024, because in 2024, you're going to be dealing directly with this debate over who gets to appoint judges and what those judges are likely to do. And you're also going to be a couple years into these red states with new legislation that has curtailed, if not almost completely eliminated, the right to an abortion. You know, some states are doing it at fertilization. Some are, the only exception they're allowing is for the life of the mother. And so there are swing states where suburban voters and female voters could swing the election, not only with turnout, but with their opinions on this particular issue as they see it play out in practice. And, you know, I'd also say that the Justice Clarence Thomas concurrence to the Dobbs decision, essentially inviting people to send to court cases that would overturn Obergefell, which created the constitutional right to same-sex marriage, and Griswold v. Connecticut, which essentially created a right to obtain contraception, is another way to really make these issues salient across many voting blocks, but particularly, you know, where we saw in the Trump era when Republicans lose the suburban vote and when the female vote goes, you know, against them, even in 2020 when Trump was able to juice Republican turnout incredibly, you know, it could still not be enough. And that's why I think 24 might be the bigger election to watch versus 2022, where voters are still focused on inflation, gas prices, and Democrats run everything in town right now.
Yeah, it always comes down to a choice between two humans, though, in our system, and it'll be interesting to see that take shape. I wish we had a little more time, because I know you've written about the rise of Ron DeSantis lately, but maybe we can check back a little down the line, because he's definitely coming on strong. David Drucker, the Washington Examiner. Thanks a million, David. Good to talk to you.
Yep, anytime. Thank you.
All right, you got it. So where does this decision leave us? Where do we go from here? We'll take a look at that next hour. Bill Maher, as usual, had some great stuff kicking the super progressive lunatic types. Another look at the Second Amendment, if you want. I mean, I don't want to go like all Constitution all the time, but boy, there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. Oh, Nancy Pelosi assaulted a child. There's that. She's a child shover from way back. There's video proof. We'll tell you about it. Don't go away.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
And here's the pitch, and it's inside, and that hits Winker. Winker walking slowly out in front of home plate, and now he's getting chirped at by the Angel players. Winker going over toward the dugout, and both benches are emptying. Winker going to the Angels dugout. He is right in there. They're starting to throw punches. Holy smokes, we got a melee going on in the on-deck circle.
Here come all the relievers. Umpires trying to restrain players. The war is on right now.
But this is one of the worst fights we have seen in a long, long time. Tensions were heated right away.
We all knew what was going to happen when we drove to the ballpark today.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I guess the batter said a woman has a right to choose, and the pitcher responded, baby has rights too, huh? And they decided to fight. No, I probably shouldn't have said that. Yeah, quite the melee. I mean, it was an honest-to-gosh fight, people swinging on each other and the rest of it. Usually baseball fights are guys milling around, looking at each other angrily. And you had the guys running in from both bullpens, getting in on the action. If I got to run, like, for 350 feet to get in a fight, I'm going to get there tired. So I'm just going to stay here in the bullpen. You guys deal with it. Oh, which reminds me, after I played golf the other day, and a buddy of mine, we both played hockey when we were kids, and we look up in ESPN, I think it was running some sort of, you know, obscure Sunday afternoon hockey documentary about two teams that hated each other back in the day and used to, you know, fight and crack each other in the head with sticks and stuff like that. It reminded me of how violent hockey was in the 70s, especially in the 80s. But anyway, one of their melees, I think it was the Avalanche that are the Stanley Cup champs right now. They just won last night, but it was the Avalanche and the Canadians, maybe? At one point, they showed one of those bench-clearing hockey brawls where I guess it's obligatory if everybody else is fighting, the two goalies skate to the center from their respective goals, wearing all their gear, take off their masks, throw down their big goalie gloves, and the two goalies, since they're both goalies, they fight each other. You know, boys, come on. Making money playing a game. They've cleaned that stuff up to some extent, though. Anyway, congratulations to the Avalanche. Our respectful regrets to Tampa Bay Lightning fans. So, have you seen the video of Nancy Pelosi shoving the Mexican-American child? Little brown children aren't allowed to get near Nancy Pelosi. The Democrat white supremacist Speaker of the House tried to deport a little Mexican-American child from the stage. Representative Myra Flores of Texas, who famously became the first Republican to win her district in 100 years, although that district is about to disappear and get redrawn. There's going to be another election in November. But anyway, a charming gal and a sweetheart and a great patriot. She was born in Mexico, immigrated legally, lawfully at age 6, I was married to a former Border Patrol guy or a current Border Patrol agent, officer. Anyway, she just got elected and she was sworn in and everybody said the nice things. But the video of the incident showed that one of Ms. Flora's absolutely gorgeous little girls got closer than Nancy Pelosi wanted her. And your little dog, too.
But she's
and
a
Nancy,
witch.
Nancy takes her right elbow and gives the kid a shove aside. Get away from me. We have
so
the video at Armstrong
and Getty.
Yeah, yeah, little child. We have video for you at armstrongandgetty.com. It's probably just a very powerful, very cranky old biddy who doesn't want some little child near her. But can you imagine if McConnell did it to a little brown child? A person of color? A Latinx? Good Lord, there'd be a meltdown going on. Of course, we, the reasonable conservative types, think, all right, there's an old biddy again. Didn't want a little kid too near to her, but still, come on. So stupid and dopey and ugly. You can't put your hand on the child's shoulder and... She's a beautiful little girl. You witch.
But she's a
anyway,
witch.
See, I know, yes. You've made that point. See it at armstrongandgetty.com. See what you think. A couple of stories about where you are housed, temporarily and or permanently. First of all, I saw this headline, Three Easy Ways to Find Hidden Cameras in Hotels and Rental Homes. I stay in hotels and rental homes a fair amount. It's never even occurred to me to look for hidden cameras. Am I being a fool, a sap, naive? Apparently so. Nearly 60% of Americans said they're worried about hidden cameras in Airbnb homes in 2019. And 11% of vacation home renters said they had discovered a hidden camera during their stay, according to a survey by a real estate investment company that I've never heard of in my life. We'll talk more about this. Also, bidding wars for rental properties and much more on the Armstrong and Getty Show. If you missed the segment, grab the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand. And Getty.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.